The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
At this place of rest, you'll find grace in a time of trouble. At the place of rest, you will find the solution. You will find the strength. You'll find the manifestations of God will only take place when you're at rest. We believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross is finished. And if you believe it's finished, you're not going to try to get God to finish what's finished. See, 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood on the cross, your healing was finished. So when you get sick today, if you'll believe that you're already healed and rest and trust in that, then healing will manifest itself on your body. When you're at rest, that's when you're going to find the grace that'll help you in the time of need. You're not going to find grace when you're stressed out. You're not going to find grace when you're full of care. You're not going to find grace when you're worried about everything. But you're going to find the grace to help you when you're at rest. Rest found grace. I'm a world
changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
The Bible says, in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. It's one thing to hear rest. It's another thing to know that you'll be challenged with it every day. Something happens and immediately your emotions will take you there. But it's not what happens in those first few seconds in that 1 minute. It's what you will allow to remain. The devil's job is to come after you every day. He's not rolling a red carpet out to make things easy for you. If success in life was easy, then everybody would have some. And so I'm going to show you today that at this place of rest, you'll find grace in a time of trouble. At the place of rest, you will find the solution. You will find the strength. You'll find the manifestations of God will only take place when you're at rest. The manifestations of God will not take place when you're stressed. The manifestations of God will not take place when you're worried. The manifestations of God will not take place when you're carrying care. And I tell you, that's the challenge with all human beings. But there's something about the Christian who will choose the supernatural over the superficial. I said it's time to choose the supernatural over the superficial. You'll find that at that place of rest, that's where all of the manifestations of the promises of God will begin to show up in your life. And how many of you know you can't afford for God to be resting while you're working? If you want God to work for you, you're going to have to rest. He's not going to compete with you. Amen? So I thought that what we need to do now, and here's where we are, we have to go from scripture to scripture, see what the Bible says. So, you know, I'm not going to be talking about won't he make it this morning, won't he make a way for you. No. We got to read and we got to find out what he said. Okay? I believe that this message is so prophetic that in the next few months you're going to have a need to be able to use it. And while others are stressed out, freaking out, about to blow their brains out, you'll be at rest and God will be taking care of you. Praise God. You won't be the ones in Egypt worrying about we don't have enough to make brick, worrying about we ain't got enough food, worried about we don't have no lights. You're going to be in Goshen where all supply is in abundance for your life. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, and let's talk about how to enter into that rest. Verse 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into the rest. Now underline that phrase. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Now listen to me very carefully. The first thing we've got to realize before there can be entering into the rest is what are we resting on? When we believe, we enter into the rest. Well, what is it that we need to believe in order to enter into the rest? Well, we believe the finished works of Jesus. We believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross is finished. And if you believe it's finished, you're not going to try to get God to finish what's finished. See, 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood on the cross, your healing was finished. So when you get sick today, if you believe that you're already healed and rest and trust in that, then healing will manifest itself on your body. If you believe that 2,000 years ago on the cross, your deliverance was finished, then if you believe that it's finished and rest in that, trust in that, believe that, then the deliverance will manifest itself in your life. If you believe that prosperity was taken care of 2,000 years ago, and when I say prosperity, I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about success in every arena of life. Success in your spirit, that's called born again. Success in your soul, that's called a sound mind. Success in your physical body, that's called health and healing. Success in your marriage, that's called peace. Amen? If you believe that Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago, and you stand on it and rest in it, then the manifestations of that prosperity shows up in your life. And he's prospering you in all those areas, including finances, that if you believe that, then it'll manifest. Now, here's the thing I got to get people to understand. People come to you and say, well, I don't believe that God will prosper you, and I don't believe God will heal you, and I don't. Well, see, you don't have to worry about it, Bubba. You will never receive manifestations because in this covenant of grace, you have to believe. Don't worry about, don't ever worry about seeing the manifestations of the finished works of Jesus if you don't believe it. I don't fuss with people when they come to me and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, praise God. You have a right not to believe, but I do believe that, and you'll never change my mind about it because God's already been too good to me, and I've already experienced the finished works of Jesus Christ. But belief is the necessity of the manifestations of the promises of God. You have to believe. And somebody says, I don't believe. Well, Houston, we have a problem, because that's absolutely necessary and vital, because that's what it means to rest. If you don't believe, you can't rest. You won't find rest in what you don't believe. If you don't believe that Jesus has already taken care of it, you can't find rest in it. If you don't believe that it's already finished, you can't find rest in it. Most of the things that we pray about and most of the things we believe God for, Jesus already did it. It's finished. It was done 2,000 years ago. Your deliverance, already done. Your healing, already done. Your prosperity, already done. Your wholeness, already done. It's finished. See, religion teaches us to try to work and labor to try to get God to do it. Whereas our faith in Jesus says, it's already done. Now I'm going to use my faith to take possession of what's already finished. That's what's got to be understood first before we can find rest. So I can find rest in Jesus. So in Hebrews chapter 4:3, and he says here that we who have believed do enter into the rest. So when I look at the word rest, I'm not talking about resting from work, but I'm talking about resting out, resting not from work. In other words, I'm not talking about inactivity. When I mention rest, it's not inactivity. When we talk about rest, it's resting while you work, not resting from work. It's finding peace, and it's finding confidence. It's working, but not worrying. You understand what I'm saying? It's doing what you got to do with no stress. Doing what you got to do, no care. People at your job or people that are around you look at you and they wonder, how can you be at peace? It's because you believe the finished works of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we must learn to work. Watch this now. We must learn to work out of rest. See, I'm working out of rest. Because I believe what Jesus has done, I can work out of rest, which means I work with no stress, I work with no care, I work with no worry, because I'm working out of rest. I'm being empowered to work because I'm at rest. Now, naturally speaking, when we rest, we don't work. So in the natural, if we're resting, we don't do anything. But working out of rest means you believe God and you're at rest while you're doing what you have to do. You believe God and you're at rest while you're doing what you have to do. Working out of rest means while trusting God and resting in His love for you, you become calm, cool, and collected. Now, initially when something happens, you might go there for a minute. All right, but you know how to reel yourself back in. Hold on. Jesus has already taken care of this. Ain't no need of me freaking out and tripping. Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. Why? Because I believe in what He has done. I trust in what He has done. And watch this. And I know He loves me. Somebody say, I know God loves me. See, that ought to be one of the first things come out of your mouth. When stress tries to confront you, you say, I know God loves me. And because He loves me, He will heal me. Because He loves me, He'll deliver me. Because He loves me, He'll give me wisdom. Because He loves me, He'll make a way where I cannot even see a way. And so I thank God that I can have peace and rest because I believe that God loves me. Does everybody see what I'm saying? So when you are peaceful and at rest in Him, what you do will prosper. When you are peaceful and at rest in Jesus, what you do will prosper. What you do will have success. What you do will work. When will it work? When you're at peace and when you're at rest. You know what peace means? It's security in the midst of a storm. And you don't see a lot of people like that today. But when you can be peaceful in the midst of a storm, well, mom and them got to come and ask you, how come you ain't freaking out? Because I trust what Jesus has already done. And that's where the power of God will show up. What you do will prosper. You know, my heart goes out to people because I know you love God. But my heart goes out because year after year goes by and you can't figure out how to receive the blessings and how to receive manifestations from God. And you really love God. But the thing that's messing you up is stress and worry. And full of care. You think you should be rewarded for how much you worry. And the only thing you're doing is building a wall between you and the manifestations of what Jesus wants to do in your life. Luke chapter 2. Oh my God, your life is not going to be the same again. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And in verse 40, he talks about Jesus and he says, and the child, referring to Jesus when he was a child, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Jesus. As a child, he grew. As a child, he was filled with wisdom. And as a child, the grace of God grew upon Jesus. But now the Bible also says that when sin abounds, grace also abounds. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. In fact, turn there. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I hesitate to just quote a scripture because I need you to see what I see. I need you to understand where I got this from. Now, there's a question that comes up just by knowing that this scripture is in the Bible. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound or increase, grace did much more abound or increase. So right here it says, when sin increases, grace will increase. But now here's the question. If the grace of God was upon Jesus, does it mean that he sinned? Because right here it says where sin abound, grace abound. So you have to be careful not to assume, well, if grace abounded in Jesus' life, if grace increased, sin must have been there. Well, we got to answer the question. Was sin in his life in order for grace to increase? Not according to 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21. You need to know that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, but he never yielded. That's why he's our champion. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Who knew no sin. So was the grace of God on Jesus because he knew sin? No. The grace of God wasn't on Jesus because he knew sin. Jesus, who knew sin, never knew about sin, never sinned. He said he knew no sin. So then it must be another explanation as to why someone can abound in God's grace even when he has not sinned. So You know, because I don't want you thinking that the only time grace is going to come on you is when you sin. Now, if you sin, grace will show up on you. But I want you to understand that grace can be on you for another reason. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6 and 8. And in Genesis 6 and 8, we find the word grace being used for the very first time. And so according to the law of first mention is that when, however, something is used the first time it's mentioned, you got to take it in consideration throughout the rest of the scripture. Now, notice here what he says in verse 8. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Somebody said, big deal. It is a big deal because the name Noah means rest. So what he says here is that rest found grace. Oh, y'all need to listen to me. Noah's name means rest. So rest found grace. In other words, when you're resting, when you're at rest, that's when you're going to find the grace that'll help you in the time of need. You're not going to find grace when you're stressed out. You're not going to find grace when you're full of care. You're not going to find grace when you're worried about everything. But you're going to find the grace to help you when you're at rest. Rest found grace. And like rest found grace in Noah's life, rest, when you enter into rest, when you stop trying to get God to do what he's already done and just rest and believe and trust and what he's already done, you will find the grace to handle the problem. That's why it's so important for you to find rest. When the problem comes, it is designed to move you out of rest. And when you're moved out of rest and moved into stress and moved into worry and moved into care, then you won't find the grace to help you in a time of trouble. But when the problems show up and you say, nope, I trust God, I'm going to rest in what he's already done, you will find grace to show up to take care of the very issue that you're dealing with. See, most people think, well, if I worry enough, then eventually the issue will be solved. No. As Christian people, we've got to learn about this. We've got to learn that when the problem comes, we rest. Everybody tripping out, but we're not going to trip out. Why? Because we got to have this grace. We don't know what else to do. I got to have grace to show up. And the only way I'm going to have God to show up in my life, grace to show up in my life and help me, is I got to stay at rest. Let everybody around you trip out, you stay at rest. You do just like Jesus did on that boat, sleep on the pillow, and all the disciples were freaking out, we gonna die, and they wake Jesus up, wake up, don't you care if we perish? And Jesus probably looked at him and said, is you dead? No, I was handling the storm while I was asleep. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is in your boat. Amen. So grace was upon Jesus because his life was a life of rest and trust in his Father. You find this in John chapter 5, verse 19. Turn there. Trust and faith and rest in his Father. So grace was upon Jesus because he was at rest, not because he sinned. If you'll check Jesus out, Jesus is at rest the whole time. You remember, except at that one single moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was stressed out just for a moment and he goes, my God, why hast thou forsaken thee? But he said, no, let me get into rest. Let thy will be done. And everything was taken care of. You may freak out a little bit. You know, somebody might, you know, call you and accuse you or something, or you might need some money to do something, or, you know how we are, you know, every now and then, you know, I'm Christian, but I cuss you out now if you come the wrong way. See, the only thing you're doing is you're allowing that circumstance to take you from the place where you get manifestation. Are you listening to me? John 5, 19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, my God, but what he seeth his Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son. You trust, you rest completely in what Jesus has accomplished. So grace comes upon you when you rest and trust God. God's grace comes upon you when you rest, when you trust God. Say this out loud. God's grace is upon my life when I rest and trust God. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and 9. Hebrews 4 and 9. You see what I'm doing? I'm doing this the whole day. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the scripture, see what it says, explain it. What am I doing? It's like I'm putting gas in your tank. And when you walk out of here, all this word going to be swirling around you. And you do know now the devil waiting outside. As soon as we dismiss, you walk outside and see your tire flat, you'll lose your joy and peace in a moment. And you can't do that. If the tire's flat, just say, oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for a spare. Somebody says, well, what if you don't have a spare? Well, come back. There'll be somebody here to work it out. Amen. You don't let nothing steal your joy. Don't let nothing steal your peace. Don't get out of rest. Now, look what he says. Somebody says, well, maybe that worked back then. Verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God right here today. There's a rest for you today that remaineth for the people of God. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. I want you to go home and study this, but I want to show you some things. In John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, write that down, study it out. There was a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. In Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, Luke 13, 10 through 13, there was a woman who was oppressed with a spirit of infirmity. And then finally, in Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, there was a man with an injured hand. It was a useless hand, producing a sense of self-worth because he couldn't do what he needed to do and what he thought a man should be doing. Now, I looked at all three of these, where, you know, and I hope you take a chance to look at it. Don't just take my word for it. Go see it for yourself. I looked at all three of these cases, and in all three of these cases, I can imagine that each one of these individuals must have decided to just give up and quit. You know, it's still here. I'm still messed up. I still haven't been able to overcome this situation. And I'm sure they got to a point where they said, you know what, I'll just deal with this. This is my new normal. But it was then that Jesus extended his offer to turn their situation around. And when they found out that Jesus said, I offer this to you, trust in me, I can fix this, that's when they received their miracle. I looked a little deeper and found out that all three of these people received their miracle on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the day of rest for Jewish people. I am telling you that I don't care what trouble you might be in today, there still remaineth a rest where you can receive the manifestation and deliverance of whatever you're going through. The day you cease from your own laboring and the day you stop striving, and the day you start resting in the finished works of Jesus Christ is the day that you're going to receive your miracle. Folks, I declare that right now in the name of Jesus. The day that you stop working and let God work, the day that you enter into the rest, that's the day you're going to receive your miracle. The thing just dawned on me, the fact that maybe we're responsible for not seeing the hand of God in our lives. Why? Because somehow religion told us we're doing a good job by just sitting back and worrying about things. Stop striving. Stop working. Stop laboring. You understand what I'm saying? Stop trusting your ability to try to get something done and do what you got to do, trusting what God has already done. Does everybody understand that? Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Somebody said, you know, I feel like I'm in school this morning. Good. Because I can't sit up here this morning and shout about Daniel in the lion's den. You need to know how Daniel got out the lion's den. Oh, that's true, isn't it? You need to know how Daniel got out the lion's den. Daniel wasn't in the lion's den shaking. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. He entered into a rest. Philippians chapter 2. See, what we do sometimes, we think, well, you know, I don't believe all that. Well, again, you got to believe. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Now watch this. I want you to say something before I read this scripture. Say, Lord, I cannot, but you can. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at that in the Amplified. Now notice it's God that said, he said, I will work in you. I'm going to give you the will to do it. And I'm going to give you the desire to want to do it.